Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Qasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. Our guest today, Kelly with Rowdy Bars. Kelly, please, first of all, tell us where you're calling in from. And I know we just talked a little bit right off the air here about Rowdy Bars was your old company, since pivoted to a new business model with the brand and with your product. So just tell us where you're calling in from and give us a little backstory about Rowdy Bars and this new venture that you're off on nowadays.
All right. Thank you so much for having me, Matt. I am calling from Reno, Nevada. And born and raised, fourth generation, but moved away twice and came home twice. So I love it here. But I started Rowdy out of my kitchen in 2013. My husband and I are big backpackers. And so I would create snacks for us to take on our backpacking trips. And I ended up coming up with this recipe for a protein bar. And at the time I was having digestive health issues and I was on this prebiotic kick. So everything had to do with probiotics and prebiotics. I was incorporating it into everything that I was cooking. And I came across a little root known as the Yacon root. It's a FOS prebiotic. So it aids in your digestion. For people who don't know the difference between pre and probiotics, prebiotics stay in your upper GI tract while the probiotics go into your lower GI tract. So I was really fascinated with this and wanted to start using this particular ingredient in all of my cooking. At the time for the bars, I was using the syrup. And I was making them for family and friends. And I had a sister who said to me, you should sell these. And then that's kind of how it started. It all started just by someone telling me I should sell them. And if you're an entrepreneur, when somebody says that to you, the wheels start to turn and you make it happen. And so at the time I was going to school, getting my master's in business, and I started baking these. I got the cottage food permit. Started making them out of my kitchen, was making about 10 batches a week, selling them and just at like local markets and things like that. And eventually I applied for a contest at the university to see about getting funding, and we actually won. But after reading the agreement and the contract and just the benchmarks were unrealistic, I knew that this company would own my company before I could even get it off the ground. So right. Yeah. I opted to just bootstrap and see what I could do with it. By 2017, I was evolving into working with a co-packer. And we launched in 2018 in the market online, selling our bars online. And that was January. By March, we were in our first retail store. So we had one flavor at the time. And as we were growing in 2018, we started getting more and more interest in retail. And then before we knew it, we were in one of the largest natural food distributors, UNFI. And then shortly after that, we were in KeHE, and we reached 2,000 store locations. We were in Sprouts, Whole Foods, and then we launched our grass-fed collagen protein powders. Well, with the protein powders, we incorporated the Yacon roots because that was kind of our spin on things. And when we launched the protein powders, they were a hit. And we use the Yacon powder in that. So you're still getting the prebiotic, but you're getting the grass-fed collagen, which is really great for your gut lining and your overall digestive health system. So, that being something that was very important to us and our mission is supporting your healthy digestion, the powders were just a no-brainer, a better margins, just an all-around better product. Well, we were one of the companies that an emerging brand with little to no capital, bootstrapping, that was really impacted by the screeching halt that we had in March of 2020 with everything. At the time, consumer habits were changing. They weren't looking for new and exciting things. They were just looking for things they were familiar with. And so we took a huge hit and just were not able to kind of bounce back from that. And then, of course, we were looking for investors. We had started looking for investors before that time, but after that March, it just seemed like all of the funding dried up for CPG. So we weren't able to get funding, and we saw the writing on the wall, and I had brought in my family into the company prior to it, us hitting 2020. And so we, as a family, we decided that it would be better just to shut down the company, and not get ourselves into any more trouble. You know, so we made the decision to unwind the company in the end of 2022. And so I took 2023 and just slowly pulled out of retail, paid off all our debts. I think we did it a smart way. We didn't have to file for bankruptcy. We didn't have a lot of outstanding debt. We basically quit while we were ahead, I guess you could say. So that's not an easy thing to do in an adventure like this, or you know, taking on a food company and being in retail and distributors. You know, a lot of times you can find yourself in a lot of trouble. So we were very fortunate that we were able to slowly back out. And since then, you know, it's a passion. It's been a passion of mine for the last 15 years. So I have one customer who's actually interested in private labeling my protein powders. So it spurred the idea of, well, you know, I've got these formulations that I created out of my kitchen. I've got 10 recipes. Why don't I play with the idea of forming a new company and seeing what happens with the formulations that I worked so hard for. So it's not a total loss. It's just pivoting and figuring out what a new direction.
Yeah, no, it's amazing. And it's something that comes up, obviously, as you could probably imagine, very often in the conversation I have on the podcast are COVID pivots. And you know, it's not always a complete like change of direction, like what you're doing. Sometimes a lot of people just had to move, you know, like they got dropped from all their retail agreements and had to go completely online and had to kind of figure that like that side of the business out. But I quite like this. This is very like savvy thinking, I think, on your part, like realizing that like no, there is still something left to this, and how can we take advantage of what we still have? So what have you kind of found in, you know, reaching out to people, or have you found that people reach out to you to I know you said one person had reached out to you for a potential, you know, private labeling agreement. How are you kind of continuing to nurture that? Are you doing some of your own outreach? Are you just like continuing to have people reach out to you? Or what is that kind of looking like in the early stages here?
So I think the one thing I learned about what I went through with Rowdy, with the bars and just the growth that we had, what is to slow down. We had such rapid growth early on, and I think that's what got us into trouble. And so, and why we weren't able to sustain or scale properly. Because there's a lot of people that do it, a lot of people that scale properly and don't have to close their businesses because they thought things through. We were just so excited when once we got into one retailer, it was like it just snowballed, right? And that's what got us
Right.
into trouble. So I told myself, I'm going to take that learning experience and really take my time with this new direction. So I'm focusing on this one client. I'm going to make it the best for her, make it the best experience. I'm not going to spend a ton of money up front. We were just like, we're going to do this, you know, prior. Now I know, like, okay, I got to really slow down, really think this through, make sure it's a win-win for her and for myself. I'm not going to take on any extra overhead or bite off more than I can chew. So I'm not outreach. I'm not like looking for people right now. Although if they come to me, great. I will definitely give them information and tell them what we're capable of. But my focus is to just really do a good job for this first client. She was actually referred to me from another friend that's in the industry. He actually does private label for liqueurs
Cool.
and
Yeah.
mixed drinks. Yeah, so he doesn't do powders, and so he had somebody who was interested, so he referred him to me. So that was the ideal kind of client, right? Because it's somebody who's interested, already wants the business, wants is inquiring about it. It's not somebody that I have to convince that this is what they need to do. So I'm really excited for that opportunity. So I'm going to just nurture it. And so that's my game plan. And then once I get this dialed in and it's running like a well-oiled machine, then I'll start doing some marketing and really figuring out if I want to expand.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And you kind of answered one of my favorite questions I ask everybody that comes on the podcast, which is like, if you could go back to your day one with this business, you know, what would you do differently? I mean, I know we kind of already talked about some of that, but I suppose, you know, that's just something that's kind of an answer I get to that often is kind of exactly what you said, which is just, you know, if I could go back, like, don't get all your eggs in one basket and don't, you know, just like try to do like more revenue at any cost, like, just worry about your relationships, like, start
Right.
small, start local, and do those things. So, it seems like you kind of took that advice just kind of from your own experience, but I just want you to know from the other conversations I've had with people that I think your head is really in the right space as you're like starting over and, you know, doing new relationships with a new business model. That's definitely something I hear from, I would say, probably half of the people in the CPG space that I ask that question to usually say something along those lines, which is, you know, think big, but like act small with your current relationships and nurture those and don't forget about those as you're continuing to expand. So that's really amazing. And so are you doing like just a straight private labeling? Like you're just straight up selling the formulation to have people completely branded on their own, or are you doing like a co-branding where it's like they have their brand and it says like it'll say like I can imagine something like, you know, made with like Rowdy, made with Rowdy protein powder or something like that? Or what's your general outlook with you know, the people you're looking to partner with that way?
So I'm actually keeping it. I actually am going to change the name because I did shut down Rowdy entirely. So I'm going to have it I have a new name, and I'm going to keep my brand or my name or who I am totally separate. Like, it's just going to be, I'm like the silent partner, let's just say.
Gotcha.
I'm going to manage all of the logistics for them, help them get set up. And all they have to do is pay for the product runs and everything that goes along with that and their marketing. And then they have to sell, and then their responsibility is selling it to their clientele. And I'm just going to stay in the background, and I have no need to have my name on anything. I'm going to let them be the drivers. They're my formula, so I'll own those. They won't have any access to the actual formula. That'll stay all, you know, proprietary information. Like, it'll be my intellectual property that I'll hold on to. And then they'll just pay me for that formula, for that, for me to produce them for them.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love that. And so you kind of, are you using this, do you think, like as a vehicle in order to like raise some more capital and maybe get into like owning your own brand again? Or do you feel like this is just going to be like, you're just going to stick with this side of the business for the foreseeable future with this business model? Or are you kind of thinking that you would like to, you know, get a new brand going again at some point?
You know, I think I'm just going to keep this going in this direction. I have no desire to be, I've done that where I fought for the branding, and I fought for that shelf space and that recognition. And it's a tough industry. There's a lot of brands out there. So I'd rather support somebody else who I think I'm more of an introvert, I guess you could say. So I do really well where I'm working on things in the background, and I can really help them facilitate it. And if they've got that charisma and that ability to get in front of people, and they're good at that, that's what I want them to do. And I can be the silent person in the background pushing them along.
That's amazing. And what kind of led you to also do the decision where, obviously all private labeling or white labeling relationships are a little bit different depending on if, you know, you're buying from somebody who owns their own manufacturing, their own facilities and everything. What kind of led you to the decision to decide that you're going to kind of handle some of the logistical sides as well, and not just like, not just sell like the formula to somebody and have them figure out that part? Like, what was kind of led you to make that decision? I guess it would be in the case of this one partner, maybe it was just something out of their needs. But yeah, tell me a little bit more about that, how you came to those decisions of how much you're going to handle from your side.
You know, I went through that whole process with my own business for the last 10 years, or, you know, it was 10, 15 years that I went through that. I learned so much that it's a lot for somebody who's getting into the business, that to have a turnkey opportunity for somebody where all they have to focus on is marketing. I felt like that would be a great service to offer, and it would be different than what most companies are doing. So...
No, that's it totally is. That's why I wanted to ask, because it's a lot more than you get usually from somebody who's doing, you know, the private labeling side of things. Usually it's just like, okay, here's the formula, you figure it out. I don't care what you do from here, basically. Right. So, but I think you're doing a great thing in that. And like knowing that, like, you know, your customers are probably going to be these more like growing brands like yours was at the time, and understanding their needs, I think puts you in a really unique position to be able to help people. So it's amazing. I love that. And this is a really incredible story of, you know, a pivot that you made with, you know, what you had left of a business that just like, you know, just got swept out from under you. I mean, it happened to millions and millions of people with their careers, their businesses during that time. So, you know, the stories of resiliency going through those times is something I always love hearing about. And, you know, some people are still feeling like the effects of, like, you very much are feeling the effects still of the aftermath of COVID with their businesses and their careers. So, you know, to hear that people are still making these, you know, big pivots in 2023, rolling into 2024 here for you, you know, it's still affecting people. So I really appreciate you sharing your story. And absolutely. Yeah. And then, so I guess it's a couple last questions I guess I have is, as you continue to, you know, experience growth on this side of the business, right? How do you kind of see, I mean, how do you kind of have it set up with, I know you said you were using a co-packer, so you obviously made the formulation and shared it with them, NDA is the whole thing, so that they can make it. Are you still using that same co-packer that you had that relationship with for this, or? Okay.
Nope. So I gave my formulas to them, right? They were my creations. And we did have NDAs, and I paid all of the money to keep my formulations. So I was originally going to keep my same co-packer, but I started thinking about it, and I wanted to have more control over the sourcing of the ingredients. So I have opted to take over all of that. And now I'm working with a new co-packer. But the new co-packer, I look at it more as like all they're doing is going to facilitate putting it together, because right. I'm doing all the other work. And so then they basically will just mix, package, and ship for me now. And someday, if it works out, I might have my own mixing facility at some point. You know, that's where I would, if I see it going anywhere, that's where I see it going, is where I'm actually facilitating that last step.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. And I mean, I think if you can get to that point of having your own manufacturing facility, there's obviously, you know, tons of opportunity for you to get really creative with, like, you know, the capacity of your place and doing maybe horizontal growth and different types of products and things right. as you have these relationships, and even like maybe helping the brands you already partner with, they'll grow their SKUs into different things too. So that's really exciting, I think, opportunities there. And so you basically went from, I'm just curious, because I don't get the opportunity to kind of talk about like these really in-depth like parts of the relationship between co-packers and distributors and things as much as I'd like to. And I think it's something that, you know, anybody listening who's looking to get into CPG or is in, like, you know, very early stages of it, it's one of the most important things that you have to understand in order to be successful in that arena. So originally you work with the co-packer, you gave them the formula essentially, and they were responsible and found the ingredients and then also did the mixing and also did the packaging and did all of that. And now you are working more on the sourcing of the ingredients and they're just putting it together and packaging it. So you basically correct. Took control of the, like, sourcing of the ingredients step mm-hmm. with this new relationship.
Yep. That's 100% correct.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. There's just like, you know, there's so many different little things and, like, you know, different people that need to be involved, all different parts of the distribution and the creation and the, like, where the ingredients come from, and you can outsource that or you can't. So there's a lot of decisions that I think, you know, a lot of people get into these types of businesses and just say, you know, just try to look for those things to be completely taken over. It just like might be from the outside looking in, that just might seem like, you know, what everybody does if you don't know any better. So I appreciate the nuance and your experience with those, and the fact that, you know, there are different ways to go about that if you really are concerned about, you know, where your ingredients are sourced from. If it goes further than just the formula, if you're looking to do something like super, like system from like a super sustainability angle, like those are parts of the process you can own, and just have, you know, co-packers or you know, manufacturers do, you know, one or two parts rather than the whole thing. So,
and I highly recommend that.
Yeah.
You know, looking back, that's one thing I would change as well. I'd have more control over that from the beginning.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing. Yeah, I really appreciate you sharing that. And yeah, I just want to give you an opportunity as well. I mean, I don't know if you have anything public out there as far as, like, if, you know, if anybody listens to the podcast might be interested in partnering with you with your new, you know, private labeling side of the business. You know, if there's any, you know, contact information you want to share, or if there's a website for your current business model, let everybody know how to stay in touch with you if they want to potentially partner with you.
I would recommend connecting with me on LinkedIn.
Cool.
Right now I don't have a website built yet. I mean, they could message me through my current website, therowdyhealth.com.
Mm-hmm.
But on LinkedIn, I actually have, the company is going to be, it's called RBR Private Labeling. So if they look up RBR Private Labeling, they'll find us on LinkedIn, and it says formerly known as Rowdy. So I kept my LinkedIn page. So that's probably the best way to reach out to me if you're interested in learning more about private labeling our protein powders, because we're not private labeling the bars, only the protein powders, just because the margins are better and it's an all around better product to ship and just a better product. So if they are interested in learning more, I think just reach out to me through LinkedIn. I'm happy to connect. So I appreciate that.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, Kelly, I just want to say thank you again for coming on. I really appreciate you sharing your story and your insights. I just want to wish you the best of luck and continued success. You're clearly very resilient. I love what you're doing now. I think it's a really creative take on, you know, what is a very unfortunate situation for millions and millions of people. So I love the story of the pivots, especially yours. And yeah, I really appreciate your time and your insights and a great conversation.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Kelly. Thanks, everybody.
You.